Well, welcome back. Again, we're glad to celebrate this time with you. I shared with you a couple weeks ago how I was so excited that we were getting rid of 2020. And 2021 was coming, and it's going to be better. And I thought Pastor George did a fantastic job. I hope you connected with what God spoke, how God spoke through him. But his little image here of 2020 showing 2021 around the workplace, I thought was hilarious, to the point where I was like, oh man, that's good stuff. And it's so sad. It's to the point where I'm going, Lord, have mercy on us, would you please? Have mercy on us. Help us to know you better, and help us to all come and surrender our hearts and humble ourselves before you, Lord, so that we cannot let this be what 2021 is going to be about. I hope that connects with you. Now I'd like to turn your attention to something that I'm going to be showing you a lot over the next several weeks, maybe even several months, but I'd like to talk to you again about how we want you and I, we want us to grow in the Lord. We want us to be people that look and resemble what this looks like, that this little flower here, this little plant, I should say, that's budding up from the ground, that it would encourage. It would be a reminder for us that God intends for us to grow in this thing called 2021, that he intends for us to be these people right here, right now, engage with what he has for us, that when people see us, they would know that we are growing to the point where maybe we could even start to grow in 2021. Maybe we could even flourish. Maybe that our lives would grow so much that we would like be the redwoods and continue to just grow up and out and deep and wide. I have a thought here, and this one is something that I was kind of challenged in my year of review and kind of reflecting and evaluating kind of where things were. And 2020 was, again, such an interesting year and such a challenging year. And I just said to myself, you know, I don't know if I'm overflowing with God's grace and love, with his joy and his peace. There's this a wonderful saint in the church tradition that talked about, we're either going to probably act like either canals or reservoirs. Canal gets the runoff, the leftovers, the things, you know, the rain comes, gathers, and it's you know, gathered throughout. But a reservoir gathers to the point where it overflows, to the point where it can be used by so many. And I just think that the reservoir is that place where we can serve out of an abundance. And even though this last year has been a year of preparation, a year of training, a year of humbling, a year of stripping down, there's been so much God has been doing in all of our hearts and lives. Maybe this is the year for us to be filled to the point of overflowing, that his grace, we would know it so well, so deeply, that when people would meet us, they would know that they have come into God's work. And we would be changed people, transformed people, not to point anything to us and who we are, but to reflect that, reflect their questions and their seeking to the Lord, and then help them know again how much God loves them and what he's looking to do. I don't know, just a thought to put in the back of your mind. Hope that it'll encourage you this week and even this year. We've been digging into Luke. Pastor George again did a great job unpacking the first four chapters. And so Luke is this wonderful book, makes up over 28% of the New Testament, believe it or not. And so that's the most of any, Luke and Acts. It's the most of anything that we have of any one author. But that's saying a lot there, right? But Luke is trying to explain how God's purpose of and plan for salvation is working itself out from Israel through Jesus and into the church and out into the world. Again, from Israel, through Jesus, into the church and out to the world. Luke is doing, and Acts is going to be helping us understand this as well, unpacking so much for us to understand what God's doing, again, in us and through us because of what he's done in Israel and Jesus. Okay, I know there's a lot there. We'll unpack more as the weeks go on, but real quick, couple things that just kind of big picture-wise. Pastor George covered like kind of the introduction we have, and then we had the infant narratives, and then kind of preparation for ministry. What does it look like? And, you know, Jesus' baptism and his going in the wilderness and preparing to maybe have to do spiritual battle at times. And what would that look like and stuff? So just good stuff, but challenging things. And this time we're going to be looking at the ministry that Jesus begins in Galilee. And there's preaching and there's teaching and there's healing and there's calling and so much more. What Jesus does is something that we need to continue to let him do in our lives. It wasn't just a one-time moment of Jesus working in a person or saying, hey, come follow me, and that was it. It was the beginning of a life learning to walk in the way of Jesus. And you and I need that too every week. There's going to be some weeks we do a great job, and other weeks we're going to need to really reevaluate and come before the Lord and humble ourselves. And confess that, Lord, we need your forgiveness and we need your restoration. But a question that I want you to think about is how do we sometimes, many of us, are looking and going after things that are second best? Second best, again, is those things that we know something's missing in our life. We know something is. We're not sure what it is. We sometimes try to buy things to fill that void. We sometimes try to find the right person to fill that void. But let me tell you what I found to be the absolute best, to be the one who is worthy of all our devotion, and that's Jesus Christ. That's not the pastor answer. That's just my life and my answer. And when I keep first things first, it's amazing how much I enjoy more of life. It's amazing how much I see God work in circumstances that I desperately needed him to work in. And so I just want to encourage you that maybe we're looking in the wrong things. Maybe you and I aren't after things that really matter in the big picture of things. So something to think about as we get ready to dig into Luke and what Luke has for us. Luke chapter 5, the first 11 verses. Again, this focus above all else. It really deals with the calling of Peter, James, and John, who become his inner circle. For Jesus. And so we're going to jump in there, and you're going to have a chance, I'm going to have a chance to really just be amazed at what God does in Jesus through these people. At least I am. And again, I hope it connects with you. So let's jump in there. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, okay, Gennesaret's kind of, think of like a neighborhood or a town. And so, that town called it this, okay, a little bit, you know, the whole region, okay, was the Galilee region. Anyway, so it's just kind of on the map what that kind of makes sense of. So he's just standing by. He's with these people, and they're at a crowd, and he's teaching them. So the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He's teaching. He's instructing. I've been there. I've been fortunate enough to be there. And there's the inlets kind of go in, you know, zigzag, you know, in and out. And they have some steepness in these parts that create almost like a natural amphitheater. That the further away you are, the easier it is to talk, that people can hear you just like you were talking to them right to their face. And so Jesus takes advantage of this landscape here in just a moment when he sees two boats at the water's edge. He left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. So he sees a couple boats. He knows this crowd's there. It's apparently getting too crowded for him to try to keep raising his voice to try to reach everyone. So he's like, if I go out here, it'll just naturally go through and everyone will be able to hear. So again, he's a wise guy. He knows what he's doing. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, who becomes Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, just a kind of little tidbit on this. When rabbis sat down, that was their way of saying, I'm going to teach you something. It was kind of like the beginning of class, right? They might take attendance. They might, maybe turn the lights down and put a slide up or something like that. And the person begins to speak. So they kind of, everyone take your seats. It was kind of that. Okay, hey, we're getting started here. Okay, kind of thing. So it announced to everyone there, he's getting ready to say something that's really important. So he starts to sit down, and he starts to begin to teach. Sat down and taught the people again from the boat. Here's just a little fun fact. Peter, or Simon, for us in this story, is just like us in the fact that sometimes we only think God maybe might speak through only like really spiritual people, okay? Peter, or Simon again, is not one of these spiritual people. He's a fisherman. He's doing his, you know, working his livelihood. He's applying his trade. He's working to feed himself and those that he works with, as well as, you know, family and stuff. And so God doesn't just use those that are the pastors or those that are, you know, have special degrees. No, he uses anyone that's open to his moving. He wants to use all of us. He wants to work in all of us. But he finds followers just like you and I in the midst of our everyday routines. And he invites you and I to be a part of what he's doing. So just something to put in the back of your thought process when reading this story again. Let's go back to the text. When he had finished, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered the master, "We've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." I love this part. "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Okay? We've all been there before when someone's asked us, we've cleaned up something or we're all set, ready to move out, and then boom, we're interrupted or we're asked to do something. We're like, oh, we know we don't want to do it. We know it's oh, come on, is that really worth it? And sometimes, it all depends on who's, I guess, asking. Sometimes it depends on what's happening and where we're at with kind of the challenges and time and stuff. But when the Lord interrupts us, I believe it's more than just, if you get a chance, right? I believe it's an obedience check. And what I mean by that is this. We all have moments in our lives when God will prompt us to do something, to give, to act, to move, to lead somewhere or with someone. And our response needs to be trust and obey and say, yes, Lord, okay? We need to stop sometimes fighting it. We need to stop ignoring it. That when he puts something on our hearts to do, you can trust that there's a reason he needs us to do it. He wants us to do it. There are times when I'll have a prompting to pray for someone, and I'm thrilled that I'm paying attention enough to hear that, right, with my ADD. But to hear, again, just feeling God's like, you know what? Sometimes it's a thought about a person. And I'll just, you know what, Lord, I hope they're doing well. I hope they're, you know, pray your will be done. And might move on to something else. And maybe someone brings them up in a conversation. And it's like, we haven't talked about that person in a while. And it was like, wow, that's interesting. I just was talking about that. You know, it comes up in just a conversation, whatever. And when those repeated things, those I call them the sacred echoes, pay attention. Maybe you need to reach out, give them a call. Maybe you need to spend some more time in prayer for them. But just be open to God's leading. Sometimes, again, it's maybe you're driving in your normal routine and there's a person there that seems to just, I don't know, they look lost or they're struggling. Pray for them. If the Lord might lead you just to pray for them, and that's it. The Lord might lead you to, you know what, I want you to maybe go get a gift card to, like, say, Publix or something, or another, like a restaurant where they can go and get some food, or maybe they just need someone to know someone cares about them. Whatever it may be, just be open to it. Try to surrender to it. Again, looking back to how what this dynamic is going on here. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. Imagine the sense of awe and terror. Okay, then these are seasoned fishermen. This is their livelihood. They know what to do. They know where to go. Nighttime in this area especially is the time to catch fish. There's not many fish that come out during the day. It just flat out let you know that. And so they've been out all night, haven't caught a thing. They've worked hard, and now Jesus said, just go out. Let's put your nets down. They've cleaned them. They're ready for the next time they go out. But because Jesus said it, they said, okay. So they go and do it. And now nets are breaking. It's about to help maybe even sink their boats as it comes out here. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. I mean, that's a fish story, right? That's one of, whoa, wait a minute. Like what's going on here? When Simon Peter saw this, and I think this is just really profound, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, now, before we get to what he said, he's having to come to terms with the power of Jesus. It wasn't like Jesus was like, let's see what happens, right? He was like, I'm going to show you that I'm Lord of all. even over nature, okay, that I am the one that God's promised in small little tangible ways for them over these next courses of ministry that he does in Galilee and so on. But he says, this is Simon saying this, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Peter's instant reaction to see himself in light of God's holiness and could see how far away he was. He knew from where this Jesus was how far away he is. And the light that God gives us isn't meant in any way to show us up or to push us back or to make us feel small. It's to help us to know who this Jesus is. We're called to pursue Christ, to love Christ. When pursuing Christ and running towards Christ, you and I are freed to serve and to love without fear, giving thanks, with no guilt, with no worry. Know this, that as we pursue him, all the other things of life just kind of fall away. That it's when we are in tune, in step with him, when we pursue the things God leads us to do, we can trust that we're the people God's called us to be. And I want to encourage you to keep seeking him, keep knowing him, keep reading of his word, praying, talking, listening, serving and acting with him. We continue on. "For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people.'" From now on, you were fishing. This was your livelihood. This is the way you were supposed to do it. But you're going to fish for people. He just saw, here he is, just doing his thing, minding his business. Jesus finds him, finds his boat, gets in his boat, come over here, does his more teaching. Then's like, "Let me show you some new things. Let me disturb your world. let me help you to know who I am." And then after this amazing experience, comes to know, whoa, oh man, this man's different. This is a holy man. This is someone who's drawing me closer. And he says, You're gonna be with me now. We're gonna go on a journey together. And when he invites you and when he invites me into that journey, we don't know the end. We don't know where he's going to take us. We do know that at the moment when he's asked, it's the moment of truth for Peter. And he knows he's out of his league. He knows there's no way he's got what it takes to be with this Jesus, to do what Jesus is doing. But he's going to step up. He's going to become the person that he's supposed to be. All of us have moments of truth. All of us have moments in our lives where we're challenged and we're called to be the people God's again called us to become. And I want to encourage you to not be afraid of those moments of truth. That you and I need to lean in more. Not be afraid. Not worry. In 2020 and 2021, we already have plenty to worry about, plenty to fear. But in Jesus, we can breathe in deep his breath and know who holds it all together and know that he's with us every step of the way. One of the great writers and pastors in the 20th century, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, was German and helped lead a resistance against Hitler and unfortunately was arrested because of that and later hanged. But he said this: when Christ calls a person, he tells them to come and die. Now, I know that's not necessarily encouraging in one regard, but when we become followers of him, when we answer his call to come and die, we don't lose. We actually win. It's in the losing that we win. I know it doesn't make much sense, but that's one of the paradoxes of the Christian faith. That it's when we surrender, we win. We have that victory. And I want to encourage you every day, every moment, Lord, not my will, your will. When we're feeling maybe feelings of frustration, or and not in ways that are healthy and good, but ways that are from maybe being selfish and self-centered. Maybe we don't get our own way. We need to confess that. We need to surrender that. Lord, help me with that. Every day we have moments of truth. Every season there are these moments that are we leaning more into what God has for us or pulling back? And I want to encourage you to lean in. The text finishes up. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. This is profound when you think about it. They say pretty much, "Here I am, Lord, and I'm all in." He is the Savior, both the young and the old. We know that probably a third or up to half of the disciples were probably teenagers. We know that they, some of them got it right really well, and some of them really just poorly. And yet God chose them. And if you're listening to this, if you're here, you need to know God chose you, and he wants you to breathe in afresh what life really is meant to be about. And that's part of what God's kingdom is, all day, every day. So what would be your response to what do you love the most? What would be your response to Jesus saying, "I want you to know that I'm going to have you fish for people. You're not going to fish anymore for your livelihood." I'm not saying that every time God calls you, you're supposed to leave your job. In fact, that's probably pretty rare. But in their situation, it was exactly what was needed in that context. Maybe Peter's response is not where you're at. Maybe you are more of someone in the crowd. You've heard about, you know something of what's going on. You've seen people's lives changed. Lives have turned around, and yet you're not sure what to do with it. He doesn't want anyone left out. He doesn't want anyone left out. But ultimately, there are no bystanders in the kingdom of God. Ultimately, it's you and I who have to lean in and be the person God's called us to be. When Jesus calls, he certainly does demand everything, but only because he has already given everything himself. Jesus, his call on us, certainly does demand, again, everything, but only because he has already given everything himself. The final word is this, and this comes from C.S. Lewis. Christ offers something for nothing. He even offers everything for nothing. He offers us so much more. So what do we love above all else? What is our first love? This answers every other question. I hope and pray it encourages you. I hope it blesses you this day and always. Now, what's the homework? I'm glad you asked. Homework, real quick. We want you to sign up for the Eco Gathering. Okay? We want you to engage with that. We want you to get on that, make that happen. We also, and again, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. Get your app, go for it. And also, we want you to read Luke chapter 9 through 12. Again, we're reading through the Immerse New Testament. We'd love for you to read with us and engage with us. We hope and pray it encourages you and that you would know, again, of God's story so you can find your story in his story. Now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there, and he has a purpose in your being there. Christ, who indwells you, has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless, and we'll see you next week.